From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Singaporean tourists yearn to visit Riau Islands province. Domestic travelers raised optimism among Indonesian tourism destination managers. Now the news in details. Indonesia Home Affairs Minister Tito Karnavian quoted Singaporean authorities as saying that foreign tourists from that country had longed to travel to Riau Islands province, Indonesia, after the two-year travel restriction imposed due to COVID-19 pandemic. As reported by Antara, Minister Tito Karnavian on Friday said that Singaporeans have missed to visit Batam Island and Bintan Island, located in Riau Islands province, which are very close to Singapore. He had met with the Singaporean Home Affairs Minister and related authorities around 2 weeks back, and the minister assessed that the visit by Singaporean and Malaysian foreign tourists are crucial to support development of tourism sector in Batam Island. Manager of tourist destinations rely on domestic tourist activity given the difficulty currently faced in traveling to other countries. Deputy Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Lestari Murdiat, in Magelang, Central Jawa, on Friday, as quoted by Antara, noted that the limited capability of the public, especially for certain socioeconomic classes, to travel caused them to prefer affordable destinations. She thinks that this is an extraordinary opportunity for destination managers. The People's Consultative Assembly's Deputy Chairman made the statement during a seminar of the Tourism Awareness Movement titled Strengthening Tourism Post-COVID-19 at the Village Economic Center in Karanganyar, Borobudur Subdistrict, Magelang. The Public Works and Public Housing Ministry has developed an innovation for retrofitting the existing infrastructure construction to realize reliable and sustainable infrastructure development across Indonesia by using reinforced polymer fiber. The use of appropriate, effective, and environmentally friendly technology is encouraged to create value-added and sustainable development, which benefits can be felt by future generations. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadimulyo, in a statement received by Antara on Friday, highlighted the importance of innovation and technology support for conducting faster, accurate, efficient, and quality infrastructure development. State-owned tourism and aviation holding PT Aviasi Wisata Indonesia Persero, or In Journey, has prepared a tourism activity calendar for 2022 for three key programs to revive tourism on Bali Island. They cover sports, arts and music, as well as cultural and culinary events. Marketing and Tourism Program Director of In Journey, Maya Watono, in a statement received by Antara on Friday said, in addition to the series of tourism activities, Indonesia is also preparing for implementation of the 2022 G20 summit. Hence, she expects all Indonesian aviation and tourism stakeholders to collaborate well to welcome the summit. President and Director of InJourney, Doni Oskaria, noted that the COVID-19 pandemic, which has lasted for 2 years, has stopped international tourist traffic and caused a significant decline in the tourism ecosystem on Bali Island. He explained Bali Island is the backbone as well as the barometer of Indonesia's tourism sector. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Dozens of people gathered in the Crimean city of Sevastopol on Friday, April the 15th, to mourn the sinking of the flagship of Russia's Black Sea Fleet, said to be a symbol of hope, revival, and power until its demise. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, some embrace and others lit flowers in memory of the Moskva missile cruiser at a monument to the 1696 foundation of the Russian Navy in the center of Sevastopol, headquarters of the Black Sea Fleet. Moscow, which annexed Crimea from Ukraine in 2014, said that the ship sank while being towed in stormy seas after a fire caused by an ammunition explosion. Meanwhile, Ukraine said that one of its missiles had caused it to sink. The UN Refugee Agency has said that plans to send some asylum seekers from the United Kingdom to Rwanda are a breach of international law. The UNHCR said attempting to shift responsibility for claims of refugee status was unacceptable. As reported by BBC.com, the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said he believes the scheme complies with international law. Meanwhile, it has emerged that UK Home Secretary Priti Patel issued a ministerial direction to launch the policy amid concerns from Home Office civil servants. A source close to Ms. Patel said that deterring illegal entry would create significant savings, and the fact that the savings could not be quantified precisely should not prevent action from being taken. Cash-strapped Sri Lanka imposed fuel rationing on Friday, April 15, in another worsening of the economic crisis that has sparked widespread demonstration calling for President Gotabaya Rajapaksa's resignation. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the state-run Ceylon Petroleum Corporation, CPC, which accounts for 2/3 of the retail fuel market, said it would limit the quantities drivers can buy and ban pumping into cans altogether to prevent motorists stocking up on petrol or diesel in fear of further rationing. The maximum for motorcycle was set at 4 liters of petrol, with three-wheelers allowed 5 liters, the CPC said. Private cars, vans, and SUVs were allowed up to 19.5 liters of either petrol or diesel. That was the news over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih. The first news comes from the city of Malang, East Java province. The Malang city government plans to build an artificial lake in the Blimbing village area, Malang City. Head of the Public Works Special Planning Housing and Settlement Areas, Diah Ayu Kusuma Dewi, in Malang City Wednesday said the construction of the artificial lake considered to be a solution for the emergence of puddles that occur in the area of Jalan Borobudur Street and around the Blimbing intersection, Malang City, during high-intensity rains. The artificial lake is planned not only to function as a water reservoir, but is also expected to empower the regional economy in the surrounding area. In addition to its main function as water reservoir, artificial lake will also be equipped with other features such as a jogging track and park, which will be rearranged according to the expectation of the residents, as well as a pond which can later be developed as a city aquaculture area. The next news comes from Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. Taman Budaya or Cultural Park of South Kalimantan Province, in welcoming the holy month of Ramadan, is holding various religious art performances titled Enchantment of Art Ramadan 1443 Hijrah. Head of the Technical Implementation Unit of the Cultural Park of the Education and Culture Office of South Kalimantan, Suharyanti, in Banjarmasin Tuesday said Ramadan art charms are shown every Friday night. According to her, on the night of the first Friday of the month of Ramadan, Madihin, a kind of literary art that conveys rhymes and poetry, accompanied by drum rhythm or tambourine, was performed. There was also panting traditional music. For the second Friday night, a religious collaboration music called Ethnic Ensemble Nuance was performed. On the third Friday, there were nasyid dakwah performances and vocal solos from the Manbaul Ulum Islamic Boarding School. Musicalization of religious acoustic music poetry was performed in solo violin from the student of 7 High School Banjarmasin. On the fourth Friday or the last day, there will be dance performances from various dance studios and it will be closed with gambus music. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, people are invited to watch it on the South Kalimantan Cultural Park YouTube channel. The latest news comes from Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara province. The provincial government of West Nusa Tenggara has prepared local product souvenirs for the U20 or Y20 delegation who will hold a meeting on the province from April the 23rd to 25th. Head of the West Nusa Tenggara Industry Service, Nuryanti, in Mataram on Thursday said, Y20 agenda, which brought delegates from national and international levels, became a momentum for the province to introduce its best local products. They have prepared, among other things, coffee, honey, and palm sugar as souvenirs for the delegates who attended. Well, that was news from across Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with the event on April 16, 1917, when Vladimir Lenin returned to Russia from exile in Finland. April 16, 1917 was a historical day that would change the face of Europe and the world. On that day, Vladimir Lenin, the leader of Bolshevik Party, returned to Russia after a decade of exile. Going out of exile, Lenin led a revolution that succeeded in establishing the world's first communist country and forming a new entity called the Soviet Union. Born with full name Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov in 1870, Lenin was dragged into the revolution after his brother was executed in 1887 for his involvement in the plot to assassinate Tsar Alexander III. We move to another event on April 16, 1952 as Indonesian Army Special Forces Command Day. The Indonesian Army Special Forces Command, or Kopassus, was firstly established on April 16, 1952, namely Army Command Unit of Territorium 3, Siliwangi, by Colonel A.E. Kawilarang. The idea of forming this unit of command came from his experience in destroying the Republic of South Maluku movement in Maluku. At that time, A.E. Kawilarang, along with Lieutenant Colonel Slamet Riyadi, found it difficult to face the RMS, or South Maluku Force Command. He wanted a special forces command unit that could move swiftly and quickly. Kopassus had changed its name several times, starting from the Army Command Corps, Army Command Troop Regiment, Army Special Forces Center, Sandi Yuda Troops Command. In 1985, it changed to Special Forces Command, or Kopassus. We end today in history with the event of April 16, 2007, when the Virginia Tech Massacre occurred. The Virginia Tech Massacre was a massacre which took place in two separate shooting events. The shooting was carried out by a 23-year-old university student, Cho Sung Hui, on April 16, 2007, at the Polytechnic Institute and Virginia State University, Blacksburg, Virginia, United States. According to government and university officials, 32 people died, including the shooter. This was the bloodiest civilian shooting incident in the history of the United States. One of the victims was from Indonesia, namely Partahi Mamora Halomoan Lumban Toruan from Medan, North Sumatra, a doctoral student at the Faculty of Civil Engineering. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Apakah
mempertahankan dirinya. Ini kisah tentang dia, dia mantanku yang lama. Dia pernah bilang cinta, tetapi tergoda yang lainnya.
Still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on G20 has a strategic role in increasing renewable energy in Indonesia. The Indonesian government can use the opportunity of its group of 20 or G20 presidency to increase domestic renewable energy capacity to achieve zero emissions targets by 2060 or sooner. Clean, Affordable and Secure Energy Project Manager of Institute of for Essential Service Reform or IESR, Agus Praditya Tambubolon, in a discussion held in Jakarta on Thursday said the topic of energy transition as a priority issue proposed by Indonesia provides a strategic opportunity for Indonesia to have a dialogue with leaders of other countries regarding the future of clean energy, whether it's technical or funding related. Agus Tambubolon said that with Indonesia's position as the head of the G20 forum, policies formulated by Indonesia should be supported by other G20 countries because it is a joint policy. According to him, when referring to the zero emission target and the agreement to abandon coal, it is very appropriate for the Energy Transition Working Group or ETWG G20 to make priority issues in the form of accessibility, technology, and funding. At the end of March 2022, Indonesian Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources has started the Energy Transition Working Group session at the G20 Presidency Forum in Yogyakarta. The main discussion on energy access is creating affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all countries, especially related to the electrification and clean cooking. Meanwhile, priority issues related to technology will be discussed later regarding efforts to improve and utilize technology for clean industrial development, integration of renewable energy, and energy efficiency. Related to funding, Indonesia will encourage developed countries to invest and finance various innovations for the development of renewable energy. One of them is to collect the promise of developed countries to help fund $100 billion to deal with climate change because the promise has not been realized until now. In addition to discussing the three priority issues, the meeting of the G20 Energy Transition Working Group will also talk about the energy transition pillars as well as the main plans and designs of the Road to Bali Communique, which will be attended by G20 ministers to accelerate the energy transition with the results of a decision to be ratified in September 2022. While on the issue of renewable energy funding, Deutsche Gesellschaft für Internationale Zusammenarbeit, or GIZ, advisor Denny Gumilang said that Indonesia could try a lot of funding from the context of the G20 because many of these big countries are contributors to funding mobility. Furthermore, he said that currently regional funding schemes are starting to emerge due to geopolitical developments such as Southeast Asia that must be more developed towards renewable energy. This funding scheme can be in the form of the Southeast Asia Clean Energy Facility, Southeast Asia Energy Transition Partnership, etc. Denny Gumilang added, Indonesia also has much bigger schemes such as private funds that can support sustainability. According to Denny Gumilang, public funds cannot replace private funds, but public funds utilize private funds, and he added, this is the most important part, especially for the energy transition. Well, that was my Indonesia Today.
Metanoia jadi gol sewaktu terbundur di hujan peluru bertubi-tubi rasa salah dosa memburu di tengah gemuruh ombak menerpa ku putuskan berlutut lalu rebah kau datang untuk hapuskan rasa resah segala badai ombak hidup lalu rebah hey let's go the second start over.
overwhelming. My God is able to transform me like Optimus Prime. What? There is no turning back again this time. Yes.
Berikan asa
biarlah atasku kau berkuasa,
engkau yang kupuja.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Menes, typical cake, Balok. Besides having beautiful tourism destinations, Pandeglang, which is a regency in Banten province, also has traditional culinary delights that taste very deliciously. One of the famous ones is Balok, a typical cake of Menes district, Pandeglang Regency, Banten. Even the balok cake has become a compulsory snack in the morning for Orok Menes, as a familiar name for Menes. This balok cake tastes like getuk, which is sprinkled with fried onions and serundeng as a topping. The basic ingredient for making this cake is cassava, a type of bread. To make it, firstly prepare cassava, which is steamed for about an hour, then pounded for about 15 minutes by using a halu as a tool with a long wooden stick for pounding, and dulang as a tray with a flat surface having a concave. Having a concave circle in the middle and usually lipped at the edges. These trays are made of wood or brass. After the cassava is smooth, then it is printed in a square resembling a block with white color and then sprinkled with toppings on it. Listener, the uniqueness of the Menes block cake is how to wrap it by using banana leaves and areca leaves as the mold. The Menes block cake is soft when it is touched and chewy. It is sold for 3,000 up to 5,000 rupiah, and it depends on the order and size. What is unique and distinctive about this balok cake is that there is an addition of two spices, namely fried onions mixed with a kind of oil, simmered right on top of this block and serundeng on top. Listener, balok cake is usually consumed by local people accompanied by warm tea or ginger water. This combination is believed to increase the enjoyment of cakes that are often found in traditional markets in Pandeglang. Moreover, it is eaten as a menu for breaking the fast. Therefore, people usually look for this block cake to serve as a delicious takjil. Based on the stories of the local people, this balok cake has been well known since in the past and it has been made from generation to generation. Therefore, it is incomplete when visiting the Menes area, you don't buy the cake because this balok cake is not sold outside the Menes area. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World with Miscellany. Listener, the Indonesian Biodiversity Foundation, or KEHATI, has developed a mangrove conservation program by collaborating with the Banten Province Marine and Fisheries Service. This one-year collaboration includes research, human resource development, publication, and dissemination of research results. Regarding the restoration of the mangrove ecosystem, the total land area is expected to reach 14 hectares. This collaboration is part of the Mangrove Blue Carbon Program, which is a concept of a biodiversity conservation and rehabilitation program designed to support national programs from the central government that are included in the National Priority Program of the National Medium-Term Development Plan of 2020-2024 through Low Carbon Development. The Mangrove Blue Carbon Program invites all parties to work together to build coordination and synergy at the regional and national levels to realize sustainable mangrove ecosystem management, as well as educate the public regarding the importance of the existence of the mangrove ecosystem. The need for mangrove conservation in the Banten region is very big indeed. Head of Fishery Study Program at the Faculty of Agriculture at Ageng Tirtayasa University, Adi Susanto, explained a preliminary study and calculation of mangrove carbon in Banten province based on currently available mangrove land. The study stated the area of the mangrove ecosystem in Banten province, which currently reach about 2,800 hectares, based on data from the 2019 Banten province, is expected to continue to experience a rate of degradation caused by many things, including logging, conversion of land into ponds, overuse, abrasion, sedimentation, pollution, and natural disasters. If this degradation continues, in the next 100 years, the mangrove ecosystem will disappear and will become a large source of carbon dioxide emission. Therefore, it is necessary to rehabilitate mangrove ecosystem to reduce the level of carbon dioxide emission. Meanwhile, the executive director of KEHATI Foundation, Ricky Frindo, said, "With multi-stakeholder collaboration and synergy, it is hoped that it will provide long-term benefit and impact, especially on the ecological, socio-economic, and management function of mangrove forests, as well as disaster mitigation and climate change." Previously, the government had set a national program for mangrove rehabilitation covering an area of 600,000 hectares, including in Banten province. The President of the Republic of Indonesia has also raised this mangrove program at the G20 meeting in 2022. Well, listener, that was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Kau yang bangunkanku dari mimpi burukku. Kau hangatkan hatiku yang dulu sempat membeku. Kau yang lelapkanku dari masa laluku. tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Lelah ku merasa selaluku. Kau katakan padaku hanya aku di hatimu, tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Ku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, 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 oh.
Still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I would like to present you a keroncong song entitled Keroncong Moresco by Waljina. This song comes from the Portuguese people who landed in Indonesia for trading. While trading, the Portuguese entertained themselves by singing the Keroncong Moresco song. The creator of this song is unknown. Kusbini only composed the lyrics of the song, which was adapted in his version. This song tells about a sailor's journey across the ocean, so that in composing the lyrics of the song, Kusbini didn't eliminate the original theme of the existing song. The song can be concluded as an entertainment song for listeners who are missing someone or feeling bored with life. But this song can also be themed about the sailing journey of sailors who cheer themselves by singing to reduce the feeling of boredom and longing. Well, listener, here is Waljina with the song entitled Keroncong Moresco.
Thank you.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.